There are some things that people say to us that you wouldn't necessarily know unless you actually spoke to the person who had received the message. We see some things that happen in our lives that really make a big impression on us, but there's no way you would know about that unless I were to tell you about it. For example, I will never forget my wedding day, but the morning of my wedding day, my mother said to me, one-to-one, private conversation, "I'll never worry about you and Catherine, because you two are so much like me and your father." It proved right, I think. I remember that. I'm picture, I'm sitting there now. Then there was a time when I was a police officer over in King's Heath, and it was Boxing Day, and it was snowing, and an officer had died during the night. Middle-aged officer, died unexpectedly. I was a young sergeant. I went with the chief inspector to visit the family, and I was tremendously moved and struck by what he did and the way he did it, and I thought, if ever I'm in that situation and I'm the person in charge, that is what I will do. I learnt from him by seeing how he did it. And that is indeed what happened later on in my career. It's a sad necessity. Why do I mention this? Well, it just so happens this week we're having readings from the Gospel of Mark. All the Gospels contain stories like that, where people who've actually spoken to Jesus recount the conversation, and we have it word for word. This is tremendous testimony, evidence, witness of the truth of the Gospels. And this is what happens in Mark's Gospel a lot of the time. I like Mark's Gospel. It's the first Gospel to be written, although it comes second in the list of Gospels in our tradition. But it was the first one to be written. And it's a very short Gospel. When I have people who know nothing about Christianity, and I have to guide them towards becoming Christians because they want to become Christians, I use the Gospel of Mark. I get a copy, a small paperback copy of Mark, and say, "Here you are. This is something to read." That's what many of the early converts to Christianity did. It's a really good read. It was written by a man called Mark, but here's for something which is a bit of Catholic trivia. That's not his Christian name. That's his surname. It's like calling something I've written Rogerson. We wouldn't call it Philip. Mark is his surname. Interestingly, his first name was John. John Mark. He had a nickname, according to tradition, Colobodactylus Mark. That means stubby-fingered Mark. Short fingers. Picture him. He's turned into a real person. Fantastic. And it is said, hence my opening remarks, that he sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes acted as an interpreter for St. Peter when St. Peter was preaching. So tomorrow's Gospel, which is the story of Peter's mother-in-law being cured of illness in the house opposite the synagogue we heard about this morning. How does Mark know that story? He knows that story from the horse's mouth. Peter could remember it. He could remember it distinctly. It was an amazing moment of miracle that happened. Peter remembered it, and he told the crowds that story, and Mark translated that story for him. He knew the script, and then he wrote it down. Fantastic. Doesn't mean that Mark's Gospel is the Gospel according to St. Peter. There's other bits in it, but he did work for St. Peter and hear the stories directly. And he would have talked to Peter, no doubt, about Jesus. So an intimate relationship with Peter and thereby Jesus. There are references to Mark in the Gospels. He worked with St. Paul. He fell out with St. Paul. They had an argument. They split up. There's nothing new in the church. This is not unknown for people to disagree. They came together again later. It is said that Mark may have been the young man who was there when Jesus was arrested, who ran off completely naked when they tore his clothes off him, trying to catch him. Well, those are traditions. But Mark's a good Gospel because it's very short. There are Latin words in there which suggest that it was being written for the Christians in Rome. And circumstances would suggest it was written after Peter had died. Again, that would make sense. If you know stories from someone, you want to write them down quick before you forget. But it was written before 70 AD, we think, because it doesn't make any reference at all to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But it appeals to the Roman way of thinking. The other Gospels have a lot of references to the Jewish scriptures, and a lot of references to the prophets. There's only one reference to the Old Testament prophets in the Gospel of Mark, and that's in verse 2, a reference to Isaiah. Otherwise, nothing. It's all sheer good common sense, the way Romans would do it. It's not being written for Jews who want all the philosophical stuff. It's a practical guide to being a Christian and living the Christian life. It's action-packed. The word immediately appears in Mark's Gospel 40 times. It's a page-turner. It's like EastEnders. The drums go at the end and you want to turn over and find out what happens next. And that actually happened to me when I was instructing Chuan, a Chinese guy who had a blank canvas in terms of Christianity, Gospel of Mark. I was running through it with him, and after a week he came back and I said, right, how's it going? And he said, well, it's going very well, but we're looking forward to hearing the next installment of what happens next, because I've been telling the family and they want to know. It's that sort of book. It's fantastic. So that doesn't change. So if you come across someone who needs to have an introduction to Christianity, Mark is your man.